In case you didn't know, I'm a retired hospice nurse. And a friend once asked me, how do you know when to call hospice? In other words, how do you decide? Should I keep fighting to get better, to fight for more time, or do I stop the treatments and accept the inevitable? The tree of acceptance of dying is my answer to these questions. Most of the time, especially in our society, we're just not thinking about death and dying. We're just not preparing ourselves. We're not getting ready for the inevitable. There are some pockets where this is changing, and I'll put some resources in the show notes, but overall as a culture, we're still pretty much in denial about death. When people do think about death, many start by imagining, what will it be like to be dead? Can I deal with that? Their contemplation of death is their contemplation of being dead. Sometimes you can even imagine people crying at your funeral, for example. This is a great step on the path to accepting and living with our mortality, but many people think that's all you have to do to accept death. The vast majority of people don't imagine themselves on the way to dying. Some people do die suddenly, but most don't. Some people live to a ripe old age and pass away peacefully in their sleep. Most don't. When I worked as a hospice nurse, I had a front row seat to many important moments in my patients' lives and the lives of their friends and families. I saw a lot of folks who had accepted death. What they hadn't accepted was the process of dying. People tend not to imagine themselves on the way to a gradual death, 1 week away, 1 month away, getting weaker and weaker, losing capacity after capacity. Some people, like many of the people listening to my voice right now, may be on a slow decline to death that is decades away from actually happening. Everybody's different. Let's call it a different distance from death. If you die suddenly, then obviously all your capacities, everything you can do at that moment, all of it's gone. But if you go gradually, what's going to happen, say, to your ability to walk? Will you lose that before you die? Right now, I can take a shower all by myself. I can go shopping, cook a meal, do the dishes, make a phone call. I can go to work. I can make love. Disabled or with an able body, we all have a range of what we can do. Will we be able to do all of what we can do, all the way to our death? Probably not. Just about every patient I had when I was a hospice nurse, at some point before they came onto hospice, they were asking the question, should I keep fighting? There are so many potential cures for so many conditions. Should I do another round of chemo? Do I get the surgery that the doctor is recommending? But many people never asked the question during their treatment, how can I know when enough is enough? How can you possibly know when it's time to let nature take its course? For some people, the answer is never. They want to keep fighting to the end. But other people look at it a little more differently. And sometimes you're fighting and you want to fight. But a doctor has to say those awful words, I'm sorry, there's nothing more we can do. My struggle as a nurse with our society's avoidance of asking these open-ended questions is how I came to imagine the tree of acceptance of dying. And that's what I want to talk about today. Hello and welcome to the 10 Crutches podcast. My name is David. I'm glad you're here. Here's the image. For each of us, somewhere inside, there's a giant tree. Its branches are filled with fruits. Each fruit on the tree represents something you can do, an action you can take, a set of skills. from providing for your own basic survival to caring for others, all the way to the most complex of human functions, maybe performing brain surgery or maybe just hearing from someone who disagrees with you. Some of the fruits are incredibly simple, so simple you might not even realize it's a fruit. The ability to chew, the ability to swallow. One fruit is holding a glass of water, being able to bring it to your mouth and drink. One fruit is for being able to control your peeing. I think you get the idea. Every fruit is something you have acquired since the moment of your conception. The huge fruit in the center of the tree represents your beating heart. That's the most important of the fruits. The one next to it is your breathing lungs. If either of them falls off, you need CPR fast or maybe a ventilator. And here is the hard, difficult truth to face. Every one of those fruits will, at some point, fall off the tree. The tree of acceptance of dying is a tool to grow awareness of reality between now, when you are well enough to have the fruit of understanding podcasts, and your death, when the last two fruits of breathing and heart beating fall off your tree. But why a tree of acceptance? How about the tree of, I don't want to think about any of this? How about the tree of, I sure would love to be enlightened and accepting, but it just ain't happening right now. There's no way I can accept all those fruits, all of these fruits falling off the tree. Well, I get it. Most people, including myself, have not humbly accepted the deep truth that each and every ability they have will atrophy and pass away, or not atrophy and pass away. Each and every fruit will drop off the tree. Every fruit on the tree is strictly a
limited time only
gift. It isn't easy to grow the tree of acceptance of dying, but I did think of a way to start. I turned to Elizabeth Kubler-Ross for help. She published her seminal book, On Death and Dying, in 1969, identifying her famous five stages. Links to more info about her and her work in the show notes. Here are the first four stages that come before acceptance. Denial. Anger. Bargaining. Sadness. Quick warning, don't make more of these stages than what they are. They're simply useful when they are. It's a framework to look at yourself, to look at others. But if you make the stages too real, like they are
actual things happening in this order and only this order, and there's something wrong with you if you're not going through these stages the way you should, well, don't do that. That's just self-defeating. I'm sure all my listeners are way too intelligent to fall into that trap. A tree of acceptance of dying will never give you any answers. Answers come from, I don't know where. What the tree of acceptance can help you with is facing the questions, is remembering to ask them in the first place. First thing, you don't technically do anything to get the tree of acceptance to grow. The main activity is to stop interfering. The tree of acceptance grows on its own when the barriers have receded. So the job isn't quite growing the tree. The job is addressing the barriers. The tree can't grow while you ignore what is true. We have all been strongly encouraged to ignore death and dying. We're often surprised and bewildered as each fruit falls. When people lose an important fruit, something they were really basing their identity on, they often say, "This isn't me." They don't know who they are anymore. The tree flourishes
when we can see the reality that already exists. That's part of what living in the present means. In the model I'm presenting today, I look at Kubler-Ross's first four stages as the barriers to growing the tree of acceptance of dying. Remember, address the barriers, the acceptance will grow all by itself. Denial.
Denial.
Many people are capable of living day after day, year after year, decade after decade, not even setting aside 1 hour to reflect on the reality of their eventual death. Denial means you've been unwilling to find a place to plant the tree. How can you metaphorically find a hole the tree can be planted in? Well, it's not hard. You simply recognize that you don't really ultimately know much of anything about death. You just know all the stories you've been told. This recognition of not knowing reveals an empty space. You don't have to dig. The hole is already there. The space where the tree grows is in the absence of certainty. You just stop as much denial as you can, and an empty space will become quite visible.
Anger.
I like talking about all this as if it's the kind of dream you have at night. Like you might realize you're in a dream where your denial has popped to some extent. It's turned into a hole in the ground and you're standing at the edge of the hole and you look down and you open your hand. You look at your hand and there's a metaphorical seed. It's the seed for this tree of acceptance of dying. Anger comes from feeling forced to plant the seed. Why the hell would you want to plant a seed that will help you accept dying? In the anger stage, you can discover very strong feelings of not wanting to plant this tree. You might say something like, "Fuck you, you stupid seed. You think I want to become aware of how each and every one of my capacities is going to disappear? No way am I going to plant you. I'm going to fight for my gifts. I refuse to plant you."
Do not go gentle into that good night. Rage, rage against the dying of the light.
When Dylan Thomas wrote that poem, he was in his 30s. At that time, doctors didn't have so many tricks to keep us alive. The problem is that many 70 and 80 and 90-year-olds who follow Dylan Thomas's advice end up in the ICU on a ventilator. They're unable to laugh, unable to cry, unable to say a proper goodbye or even recognize anyone or interact at all. They're certainly unable to rage against the dying of the light. The ways to preserve life have gotten so good, doctors can often keep your heart beating while every other fruit on the tree has fallen off. We all arrive at the anger stage over and over and over. None of us were ever asked if we wanted to live. We were just born. And now we have to face death. Well, fuck facing death. Feel the anger and the injustice of it all. As a side note, if you don't have any anger at all about this, like I said, not every stage happens the same way for everyone. You may get in touch with the anger later, maybe not, no big deal. But if you do have anger, feel it thoroughly. Feel it thoroughly. Personally, I've screamed into a pillow at this stage many a time. Just let others in your household know that that's what you're doing. And kind of like in a dream, the seed that you forgot about while you were raging around, that seed in your hand, has been helped to germinate by the heat of your anger. We could say that the heat of the anger melts the protective case around the seed. And just like in a dream, the seed can somehow leave your hand and be at the bottom of the empty, not knowing hole. Or maybe you refuse for now to let the seed go. If you're not ready, keep the seed in a metaphorical dream pocket. Or throw it out of the galaxy. This is a dream. Handle the seed however you like. But at some point, if you keep working with
anger,
and denial, that magical seed will land in just the right place inside you, sometimes almost in spite of yourself. On to the next stage. A bit harder to self-recognize, but it does happen often. Bargaining. So now, if you've worked through at least some of your denial and some of your anger, you may find yourself wanting to bargain. You certainly aren't ready to accept death, but you're not denying it. You're not quite as angry about it, at least for the moment. But you realize you have some conditions. You have some demands you want to make of life or of God or of the universe. Things like, if my cancer goes into remission, I promise to... Or if the surgery works, I will most definitely do whatever. You're not ready to give back all your gifts without any objections. You want to cut a deal. You want to have the fruits fall off the tree in a time and a manner that suits you. The main thing to realize in the bargaining stage is you're in a terrible bargaining position. Of course, you may be able to use medical science and or healthy living to extend your life for some time. Wonderful. The thing with the bargaining stage is this. You, as an individual, are completely outmatched by the rest of the universe, but you still try to bargain. It's kind of like being a little 4-year-old baseball player facing off against the best professional pitcher in baseball. You kick up a little dirt as you step into the batter's box. You kick the metaphorical dirt around you just to buy yourself some time. Please go with me here, even if you don't like baseball. This, and even though you recognize this is the weakest part of the metaphor that I have going today. The dirt from the metaphoric kicking goes into the metaphoric hole and covers the metaphoric seed. It's natural to bargain with death. It's natural for a baseball player to kick up a little dirt when they come up to bat. Bargaining means more and more dirt fills up the hole. Sadness. Kubler-Ross called this stage depression, which is often accompanied by sadness, but can also be experienced as numbness. I'm going with sadness here as the name of the stage, but if you find yourself with low energy and or numbness, same stage. Sadness happens when you're not completely ignoring death any longer, at least not as much as you were. Death is there. You've gotten angry. You've tried to bargain, and death has just been waiting patiently for you to exhaust yourself. You have thrown yourself against the brick wall of death's finality, and are maybe even a bit bruised and battered. You don't have anything left to throw at death, but there certainly is still not any acceptance. Fuck that, and fuck you, death, and fuck acceptance, and fuck everything. See how easy it is to go back to anger? Okay. But I don't want to feel all sad and helpless. I don't want to just give up. Hey, maybe if I promise not to get angry at you, universe, maybe if I can genuinely get over my anger, maybe that's going to help me see how easy it is to get back into bargaining. So then at some point you might just say, wow, this sucks. I'm going to take a nap. Sadness, depression, becoming numb, all ways of reacting to being defeated. The brick wall we run into is our unrealistic aspirations. Our goal is not to have to face reality, in a way. Our lives and our fruits are temporary. So at this point, at least metaphorically, you lay down in sadness. In the dream, you, quote, lay down over the dirt which covers the seed. You lay down in your sadness, in your grief. The seed was planted in spite of yourself. It germinated in spite of yourself, but you still can't honestly say you want it to grow. You're sad. You cry. You don't want things to be this way. The tears come out, and the reality that was so different from your hope is all around you. This is a wonderful stage for those who genuinely contemplate death. It may be a time to literally lay down on a bed and cover your head with a pillow. After screaming into the pillow, sometimes that's the next best thing to do. Feel every inch of the sadness. Feel the impending loss. Every ability, every single thing you can do in this life will one day be gone. None of this is easy. Who wants to let go of each and every function? Who wants to hand back all the gifts? Certainly not me. But in the dream, a miraculous thing can happen. The tears you cry in your sadness will metaphorically water the dirt that is covering the seed. Acceptance.
Acceptance.
After really experiencing the sadness, the preciousness of life becomes very clear. What is around you is the life you still have. Is your glass 7/8 empty, or is it 1/8 full? You may still be sad, but you enter your life more deeply. You can live the present moment more deeply. The contemplation of death I am presenting here is done, by the way, on the sidelines of your life. Kind of like in a real game when your team huddles on the sidelines. You set aside time outside the ordinary flow of events to be with death, to go through these stages. But then you're back in your life, the very life you are living, with whatever particular assortment of fruits you still have on the tree. Use and appreciate and share your gifts while you have them. Engage with life as fully and completely as you can. Acceptance is always there. Acceptance is pre-existing. If you keep cycling through these first four stages, perhaps reviewing them from time to time, then the tree of acceptance of dying will grow. It was only your turning away from reality that covered the acceptance that's been there all along. How will you know when is the right time to call hospice? If this is really an active question for you, the first thing is always gather information. Consult your doctor. Read a wonderful book called Hospice, A Different Type of Hope. I'll put a link in the show notes. Call your local hospice and ask for a consultation. Find out what's possible. After you are satisfied that you've gathered enough information along with whatever advice you are offered, those two important questions will remain. Fight to live longer? Time to let go? Like I said, the tree itself will never give you any particular answer. Acceptance is never about a particular decision. Acceptance is about embracing the whole, messy, opposite-filled life. When the tree of acceptance of dying is alive and flourishing in your mind, its roots will be drinking from deep in your heart. And if you are lucky, your tree will grow a new fruit, the wisdom to ask these two questions in a brave and realistic and loving way. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you next time. Please visit the home of the 10 Crutches podcast at 10crutches.link. That's 10crutches.link. The book that inspired the podcast, a book I wrote called 10 Crutches for Walking in the Present, is available for free download on the website. While you are there, please take advantage of two ways to contact me. You can send me an email, or you can make a voice recording. If you have a great question, I may be able to use it for the podcast. Also on the website, you can visit the archive to hear any published episode and see show notes for any and every show. Thanks so much for listening. And once again, thanks so much for listening. And I won't say it once again. See you next time.